Well, hello guys, welcome to another episode of The Blank Check. So today we're gonna talk about a very, very interesting story that I got to read once more, and I really got to get the meaning of it. So yeah, let's get to it. So a story is told of the children of Israel. One time there was a lot of famine in the land, so they were forced to go to Egypt. And Joseph was already there. He was already sold by his brothers. So because of the favor of the Lord, he was made second in command. And yeah, he was able to ensure that the people in Egypt saved enough food for the 7 years of famine that was being experienced in so many places, including Israel. So tell you what, his family went to Egypt too. Look for food so that they don't starve. They went with the whole family, actually. His sons, Jacob's sons, went first. Then Joseph told them, go bring your father, who is also his father. And yes, they were there. So that is how the children of Israel ended up in Egypt. So they continued living in Egypt, and Joseph still found favor in the eyes of the Pharaoh who was there. But as years passed by, Jacob died, Joseph also died, and the Pharaoh who was also who really loved Joseph also died. So there came this new Pharaoh who was mistreating the children of Israel. So this is how the children of Israel were forced to be slaves to the Egyptians. Really sad. So they lived at a place called Goshen. Yeah, and life continued and all that. But you know what? The children of Israel were tired one day, and they just cried to the Lord. And the Lord was, enough is enough. I have heard the cries of my children. Wow. Wow, really nice. I really love that. I have heard the cries of my children, and enough is enough. Moses, you'll be the person I'll send, and you will lead the children of Israel to the promised land, because God had promised Abraham, God had promised Jacob, had promised Isaac that their descendants will inherit this land that flows with milk and honey. So Moses was sent, and yeah. So a lot of things happened in between. There were plagues that happened because God hardened the heart of Pharaoh so that his glory may be revealed. So the last thing that happened was that the firstborn of the Egyptians, and the angel of death passed by, and they all died. So it is only then that Pharaoh released the children of Israel. So my excitement now is on this part. The children of Israel reached the Red Sea. They were almost crossing. Then they realized that Pharaoh changed his mind again, and he was like, he sent out his best chariots, you know, and the best soldiers. They were like, we can't let them go. If we let them go, who will work for us? Because we need slaves, you know. So like, you're standing somewhere, then you look at the horizon, you see people coming, like chariots coming, and you're like, finished. Yeah, like we're dead, we're done and all that. And you know, they're at the Red Sea. They can't go left, right. They can't go ahead because they're at the Red Sea. So God tells Moses, do this, and God parts the Red Sea. And you know what? The children of Israel cross the Red Sea. So they're crossing the Red Sea, and Pharaoh is like, follow them, get into the Red Sea, you know? So I think he was such a coward, because you know, Pharaoh himself did not go to the Red Sea, like he did not follow them, because I believe a leader is meant to be like at the front line of the battle and all that. So like, his best chariots and his best soldiers were told to follow them. So the children of Israel are crossing the Red Sea. Guys, this is not like a 5-minute event at okay, tuvuke barabara, like let's cross the road. No, this is something that happened. It was when you read the Bible, it tells you it happened, like the children of Israel finished crossing the Red Sea like at dawn, and they started seeing the Egyptians, like maybe what should I call it, majoni is like in the evening. So they were crossing the Red Sea. This is like something that's happening, and the children and the Israelites are following are following closely. So when the children of Israel finished crossing, the waters of the Red Sea came back together, and tell you what, the best of the best were drowned. And you know, that is how they were finished. And it is really interesting that none of the children of Israel were like drowned in the water. Every single one of them crossed the other side. So tell you what, the God we serve is so mighty, so great, you know. And it's really interesting because he says he keeps on talking that he has made them distinct, you know. It's really interesting. You guys should read it. It's in the book of, let me just check, look it up for you. That's what I've been reading. But I've been doing a Bible study on the first books of the Bible in the Old Testament, and I'm really loving it. It's really nice. So you can find it when you start reading from Genesis, Exodus chapter 13, you read chapter 14, you'll find the whole story. Wow. So yeah, that is the background information. So now let's get to the meat. This is what happened. The children of Israel crossed, then they were moving, and they got to a desert. They got to a desert, and you know, typical human beings, you start complaining. They start complaining, they were hungry, they were tired. They started saying it's even better for us to just, they were telling Moses, you would have just let us to just die in Egypt, because we are slaves there, but at least we have food, you know. Food for the stomach. Food can really make people go crazy. Anyway, we are only human. So this is what happened. Moses asked the Lord, what should I do? And the Lord told him, you do not worry, these are my kids and I've got them. I have got them, so I'm gonna provide for them. I am their provider. I made a promise to their forefathers and I'm gonna fulfill. So God provided manna and God provided quail. So this is what happened. You sleep, you wake up in the morning, you find things on the ground. Yani, it rains food. It rains manna and it rains quails. So the children of Israel knew, this is like quails and all that. But when it came to manna, they didn't know what it was. They really didn't. Because they woke up in the morning and they found some flaky stuff. Yeah, the Bible talks about flakes. So they really were looking at it like, what could this be? What food is this? They didn't have a name for it. They could not call it. It was like for them a sort of bread, but they could not call it bread. So they were like, what is it? And when you look at the meaning of the word manna, manna actually just means, what is it? It's actually a question, because they really didn't know what is it. And you know, God told them, just pick what is enough. Pick what is enough for the day. Do not store up stuff. I'm going to give you fresh stuff every day. I don't want you to eat things that you have stored up, you know. I'm the God of the heavens and the earth. I created everything, man. So why would you eat food that you have stored? I'm going to provide every day. But you know, like the children of Israel, and also as humans, I believe maybe I would be one of them who'd stock up, because we're so used to stocking up. Let's stock up, you know. Let's do this. Let's do a lot of work today so that when tomorrow comes, you know, let's buy a lot of this food today. Kwanza, I can recall when the corona period started, there was a lot of, you know, confusion and all that. People bought cereals. Yeah, guilty. We also bought cereals. You know, we're just trying to store up and all that. But it was not really crazy, because I know crazy. Like, I heard of crazy stocking up. So we're trying to stock up because you told maybe that we won't have supplies and all that. But you know what? God provided for the children of Israel, because the next day, those who had taken more than they could eat, the manna started rotting and it started having maggots, so they couldn't eat it, you know. They couldn't eat it because God, his mercies are new every morning. He provides daily, you know. God is not a God who's limited to, he's not tired of providing. He's never lazy and just, you know, God is just so like the best. So he kept on providing every day. Those people who are stocking up, shock on them. Every single day they got manna and they got quails. So Yeah, it is really interesting how the Lord provided for his people. And they were eating until they are full and it's the desert. Wow, our God is just amazing, man. Like, wow. And do you know what, by the way? The manna, when the children of Israel, they didn't really know what it is. So they were like, we'll call it manna. And when they tasted it, the Bible says, my NIV version says, it tasted like wafers and honey. Those people who love wafers, or those people who are like big fans of wafers, you're eating wafers and honey in the middle of nowhere, and God provides every single day. How good can it get? You know, so it's really interesting. So it's the whole take home for me was, what is it? You know, what is it, Lord, you want me to do for you today? Living a day at a time and making God the center of that single day. Because as human beings, we tend to have this anxiety about tomorrow, you know. I need to really, really work hard. Some of us even become workaholics because you feel like, if I don't work hard for today, I don't know what will happen. We're living in uncertain times, like sometimes our institutions don't work really well and people tend to suffer. But in the midst of this, it is really important for us to just hide under God and just trust in him completely and just ask him, Lord, what is it you want me to do today? I don't want to do stuff. I don't want to overdo stuff. I don't want to do things that you have set apart for tomorrow, you know. I just want to do today. I just want to live today. What is it you want me to do today? What is it you want me to do with my resources, my what is it you want me to do with my speech, you know? What is it for today? What is it, Lord? I feel like I want to do this, but what is it? When you wake up every morning and we just ask God that, he definitely speaks to us. As we go throughout the day, if we're attentive to listen, and he'll just speak to us through nature, you know? You see something in nature and you're like, yes, Lord, this is it, you know? You see someone and you're just like, wow, Lord, this is it. You just see this, wow, God is just so not limited. He speaks in some, he does not come knocking, kwa, 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 knock, knock, knock. Let me listen, let me talk to you. No, 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 no. He speaks in, he's not limited, in short. That is my point, really. He's not limited. So it is really important to just live a day for God, live a day centered around him. You know, that is for me how surrender has been looking like for me, you know, just living today and waking up and being like, God, I plan to do this and this, and yeah, thank you for the day. But above all, what is it? Oh, Holy Spirit, you know, sometimes I am stubborn. My human nature is stubborn. But I just ask you to help me, you know? What is the heart of the Father? What does he want me to do today? Because we will work hard. Working hard is really nice. Hard work is nice. But if God is not the center of it all, then it is all futile. It is all useless. It is all useless. It is all in vain. So I want to challenge you. I also challenge myself. I did a 7-day what is it thing. So this is how it worked. I just 7 days, from Monday to Sunday, or from whichever dates, from Sunday to Sunday, wake up every morning and ask God, what is it you want me to do for today? You know, I don't want to stock up a lot of things and I wake up the next day only to find that they are null and void, only to find that my plans are not even formidable for that, you know. Prepare me for today, just today, because I know you will also prepare me for tomorrow. I don't need to leave tomorrow and not enjoy today because I want to leave tomorrow. So basically, you can just take sticky notes or have a book and a pen. The way I did it, I used to ask God, what is it? What is it you want me to know about myself? And what is it you want me to know about you? So at the end of 7 days, I got to know so much about myself that I just got to know so much. And I got to know more about God and some really, really, really beautiful things about God that I just, you know, overlooked. You can do that, and you can do that after the 7 days. You can continue with that, because tell you what, it's really nice to work hard. I emphasize on that, but we really have to build our we just have to be, our foundation is just Jesus Christ, you know. All the other things, the etc, the boss lady chick, you know, the boss man, is that boss man really? Whatever, the boss chick, boss lady, oh dear. It's really not important if God is not the center of it all, you know. Let us enjoy our lives the way God intended us and just live a day at a time, because we have no anxiety, because we know our Lord will provide for tomorrow, the other day, and the other day. Yes, let us just be free from all this anxiety and fear of tomorrow and all that. And wow, it really excites me to just know that God provides for every single day, and we don't have to worry about, you know. May our hearts just lean into that. May our hearts find peace. May our hearts find rest and calm in that, that our Lord is the one who created us, did not create us to just live but to thrive. And may we just thrive in the Lord. Thank you so much for joining me in this, and may the Lord bless you. May He keep you. May He make His face to shine upon you. May He just keep on giving you manna for every single day. And may you continue trusting Him, because, you know, He is the guy. He is the guy.